Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
You're tuned into the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future, whether you're 5 to 10 years from retirement or just getting started. We've got the strategies, tools, and experience to help make the most of your nest egg. Retirement Planning Specialist David Pipes is a trusted voice in retirement planning, helping Americans navigate 401k rollovers, income planning, tax strategies, and everything in between. Now, let's dive into today's show and start paving the way to your smooth retirement. Alongside retirement specialist David Pipes, here's your host, Jim Terabocchia.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition, a brand new episode of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world financial strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. Thank you for making our show a part of your weekend. I'm your host, Jim Terabocchia, alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes. We'll talk to David in just a moment. 5 steps to catch up on your retirement plan. Today, we take a deep dive into part 3 of our series and maximizing your retirement contributions. Now, over the next few weeks, David and I will be presenting a series centered around helping you catch up on your retirement plan, outlining 5 actionable steps to take right now to ensure a rock-solid retirement plan so you can enjoy your golden years. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the catch-up mindset, plus knowing your limits and where to put your money for maximum contributions. That's all coming up. But first, before we get the show started, I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and schedule your 100% complimentary consultation with retirement planning specialist David Pipes today. It's a free offering just for listening to this show. Our listeners can meet with us to review their own financial situation for your family or for your business, and there's absolutely no obligation. So again, visit retirementplanningpipeline.com to get started today. All right, let's get the show started here, David. This week, the catch-up mindset, why maximizing contributions matters now more than ever. A lot of people, David, hit their 40s, their 50s, and they realize, I'm behind. So let's first define what catch-up mode really means in the simplest terms. And furthermore, what's the biggest mistake people make when they realize that they indeed are behind?
Well, first of all, if you realize you're behind, Jim, this comes into a play where you have to understand that you have to catch up. And I think a lot of the times everyone wants to kind of push it back. And for all you listeners out there, some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about is when you know, with whatever it is in life, if you're a little behind on something, sometimes it's easier to just say, oh, forget about it, or we'll care about it later, you know, and kind of procrastinate on that. Retirement's something that you have to take care of. And whether you're taking care of it in a small portion or a bigger portion, I think it's most important to realize what you have and what you want in the retirement industry. And I think one of the biggest things too is we're talking about, you know, maximizing contributions. First of all, some people aren't even maximizing enough. They're putting a certain amount away, which is, you know, if it's not something that, and you have other assets, then that's totally fine. But I think many people don't even look into what they actually have, right? So if someone could say, hey, I could put an extra $10,000 away a year and not know it coming out of my bank account, that's super, super big because of those tax deductions, right? Mm-hmm. And the tax deferral. But the other big thing too is that everybody thinks that when you get to the certain age that you need a big lump sum of money to start that retirement plan. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. Especially with, you know, the last 10 years will prove it. I mean, what the economy, what the stock market has done in the past 10 years is absolutely amazing. And the one thing that I think that's important too is what Roth IRAs, IRAs, 401ks, any qualified fund can do when you contribute, even at a later age when you're working, right? 40, 50, 60. And the ability to grow tax deferred, the ability to really transition securities without paying capital gains taxes is a huge one. And I think we're going to hit on that in a couple episodes. But I think that people misinterpret what the retirement plan can be. So again, you know, anybody out there that's thinking to themselves, hey, look, I'm a little bit behind, or maybe I don't know what to do now, or I need a plan, or maybe I have some ideas, but I want to finalize something. that's something that I love to do with plenty of people, especially nowadays that we're getting to that cycle where everyone's kind of getting new careers and maybe certain things are coming about or certain jobs are ending or layoffs are happening. And that's one thing too, as well, if you're out there and you have an old 401k, I know a lot of people have old retirement plans they used to have with other carriers and, or other careers and other companies, bring it in. There's ways to be able to roll those over and actually benefit you, right? Mm-hmm. There's ways to combine those to really plan for retirement. So give me a call, 850-565-1705. Again, that's 850-565-1705.
You know, you mentioned there talking about people changing careers. There's a lot of people now, younger people, people in their 20s, 30s, maybe even in their 40s that are doing, as the kids say, a side hustle, right? And it goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago as well with retirees, people in their 60s, their 70s, maybe going back to work. How does that figure into people's retirement plans and maximizing contributions?
Yeah, I think that first off, any type of earned income, whether it's, you know, self-employment, okay, in whether it's W-2, you know, whatever it is, 1099, there's always a way to be able to put money away to grow tax deferred or grow tax free in a Roth. And I think a lot of people need to understand the transitioning of that too. So I think when you get into the retirement cycle too, sometimes it's better, even if you're younger too, to transition some of that to Roth if you're in certain tax brackets, which can help out down the road with taking contributions out and giving you the freedom of what you want to do and when to do it. I think that certain career positions too and certain changes bring an opportunity that you didn't have. You know, sometimes companies, if they have 401ks or 403bs, they don't let you take the money out. It's got to be fully vested.
Right.
So I think what's cool is sometimes when you're in that career, you're able to roll the entire amount over, right, into something different to have a more versatile portfolio. And that way we have more to work with. So if that's something too that you know, I think a lot of people are going through and have went through, right? Learn how to maximize those and learn how to maximize the growth, because what I'm seeing a lot of now is people are just sending them into portfolios or keeping it into a target date fund and not really utilizing what that IRA or 401k or Roth IRA is meant for. So if you've got maybe an IRA, you know, maybe 100k, 200k, or whatever it is, and you're like, well, it's in here, but I don't know really what's best for it or what best suits that traditional or that Roth IRA. That's when you need to meet me, and that's when maybe we can discuss that and kind of go over certain plans to maximize your growth on those funds, but also make sure that you have a plan to where what that can do for you down the road, and when you could take it out too. And I think also the big topic is inheritance money nowadays, right? Inheritance money or, you know, just money in general, CD money that you have in your savings account. I know a lot of people love to put that extra penny or put that extra dollar in their savings accounts. That's where you can really compound on things. I use that myself, you know, and being able to utilize and use that money to grow for you, and to compound the way that you're, you know, putting your money inside of a savings account is super, super big. I think people are always scared to invest, but what they're really not understanding is the scary part to me is not investing and leaving your money stagnant is the bigger problem, Jim.
Yeah. Well, so discussing urgency and panic here, when we're talking about maximizing your retirement contributions, how do you balance being aggressive without making those emotional decisions? Because when you're talking about urgency with your retirement portfolio and maximizing your retirement contributions, there is some emotion there. So how do you balance that?
Well, I think as a financial advisor in my job as a fiduciary in general, is to really look out for the client's best interest and what their goals are and what their needs are, and then evaluate what to do for them. So first of all, analyzing a risk assessment is super, super important. You always want to make a client feel comfortable. So anybody, any listener out there, if you guys are all listening, the one most important thing, if you ever meet any financial advisor or sit down for a meeting, they need to understand your goals and your needs first. Because that's always the first thing that you need to target. Then you can assess the securities or the investments that or the portfolio that we really want to go with afterwards. You know, a client that wants to be super secure and safe is going to be totally different than a client that wants extreme growth, right? So, and I always like to explain it as you know, how much loss can I appreciate for how much growth that I want? And, you know, and you're not going to change someone's mind either. Some people are going to have that, those amount of funds they have, and they're going to be able to assess that risk. And some people, even though they can assess the risk, just don't want to. And that's okay. Yeah. That's totally their goal. And we don't, you know, I don't discriminate on anyone who wants that goal. And there's certain ways that you can assess those, whether it's, you know, maybe dividend stocks, right? With a little bit of lower volatility with a high dividend rate, a high yield rate, or maybe, you know, some fixed income securities, you know, that are changing around. But the point is that you're always going to have a solution for a client. There's always going to be opportunities for a client in their certain risk class. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that everyone should understand. No matter how much money you have, no matter what, you know, unless you have $0 in your account, mm-hmm. There's always going to be a way for you to utilize what you have and create a better way to earn or grow with whatever you have. So that's one of the most important things, Jim. I think that just being, you don't have to be scared, right? There's ways that you can understand that certain, you know, securities work or certain stocks work. They can kind of wrap your head around a little bit to understand that you're less scared. Now, a client with their entire portfolio that, you know, that as they age into retirement, you're not going to want the entire thing risked. There's just no way, right? I mean, right. you're going to want a portion of that portfolio either placed in for income, or you're going to want a portion of that portfolio placed in security to know that you're going to be taking income down the road. I say this in other episodes too. It's very hard to understand this. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that, and a lot of advisors that don't do this the right way. But mixing income and growth is just not the way to do it. And I think a lot of people have been trained that way for forever, but mathematically there's just better ways, right? And you can go over the board with historical data and see that. But I think that everyone's always stuck going, okay, well, let me keep my money in the market. Then I'm able to withdraw what I need when I retire from 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, TSPs, certain things like that. That's just not the way. Now there's better vehicles out there to utilize and you know, to be able to transition your funds into a better way in a better environment. Things change, things get better, right? Cars back in the 2000s weren't the cars that are now in the 2020s, right? So it's inventing innovation. And that's where investing changes just like everything else does. So you have to be able, as an advisor, and for all you clients out there, you have to be able to change with the clients and be able to help them with what's changing in the environment and changing in the economy. I had a client the other day, and she's like, you know, David, people don't understand that 40 years ago, investing is not the same now. And I said, you're absolutely correct. So no one's going to have a crystal ball, but also no one's going to know, hey, guess what? This is going to statistically happen next year. No, I mean, you can't do that in the financial world. So again, you know, but assessing the personality, assessing the risk, creating a personal relationship with the client, and assessing goals and needs. For all you guys out there, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I just want this, that, this, and I want this to work like this. There are ways that you can do that to satisfy your goals that are better than just being stagnant. Okay. And a lot of the times it's easier to just leave your money in one place and not make change. Sadly, you shouldn't be doing that. And that's why I'm here. So again, you know, give me a call. We can set up a free consultation. I'd love to at least sit down with you, see what you got, go over your statements, and see if I can help you guys out and, you know, make your retirement better or make your plan better. Right. So that number is 850-565-1705. Again, that's 850-565-1705.
The catch-up mindset. This seems like the one step where most people like to rush through when they pay for it later. So again, don't be one of those individuals. As David mentioned, the phone number, give us a call, 850-565-1705, or visit retirementplanningpipeline.com and schedule that free, no obligation consultation with David. Allow us to inflation proof your portfolio as well to ensure a successful retirement future. Coming up later, discussing traditional and Roth accounts. But up next, contribution caps catch-up provisions, and overlooked opportunities. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. We'll be right back.
Helping you take control of your financial future. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Helping you take control of your financial future. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline, where proven strategies meet real retirement success. Your results start here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Thank you for making our show a part of your Saturday on WCOA News Talk 104.9 with new episodes every Saturday at 8 a.m. As we dive back into today's show, a reminder, if you like the content we're providing, subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, and search Retirement Planning Pipeline for weekly video highlights and special content. April is National Financial Literacy Month in the United States, a month-long initiative dedicated to improving financial knowledge, particularly for youth, through nationwide events, educational campaigns, and resources focusing in on budgeting, saving, and managing risk. According to the U.S. Department of Treasury, the 2026 campaign emphasizes digital literacy, cybersecurity, and navigating complex fintech alongside traditional financial skills. And with it being Financial Literacy Month, we're discussing today about maximizing your retirement contributions. David, let's talk numbers. That's one of your favorite topics, right? Being a math guy. What are the current contribution limits people should know when it pertains to 401ks, IRAs, traditional and Roth limits, catch-up contributions, and how many people actually use their full contribution limits?
I think the one thing that people don't realize, Jim, is that Roth and the traditional are the same limit, which is actually $7,500 this year, 2026, and $7,000 last year in 2025. Mm-hmm. And I think what the difference is that people don't realize, and they say, okay, well, I can't contribute. I don't think it's the contributions that are the problem. It's what they're realizing they can contribute to. Mm. And why I say that is because you can have a 401k and still contribute to a traditional IRA, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's where the mindset changes in people. And obviously, that's as a financial planner and you know, as a financial advisor, that's my job to kind of educate clients on what they can do. So again, if anybody's out there and you need to, you know, realize what you can contribute or how much you want to add to your portfolio, and then would it be worth it, or is it beneficial for you, or the timing of the market, that's when you give me a call at 850-565-1705. Again, that's 850-565-1705. And this is an absolutely free consultation. We sit down, it's just an easy meeting, you know, and we can see if we can help you out. Very personalized about it. And if you call this 850 number, it is directly to my cell phone. So I want you all to know that. I give most of my clients my cell phone number. And it's pretty simple to just sit down and go over it and solve that problem now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about urgency in that last segment too, solving that problem. So let's discuss opportunities and where people leave money on the table pertaining to this topic, because I'm sure you see it all the time. You're looking at people's portfolios and you're saying, I mean, maybe sometimes you look at it wide-eyed and say, oh my God, you're leaving all this money here on the table. How do you navigate and go about telling people and helping people avoid leaving money on the table?
I think number one is learning when to contribute and when to take out. Mm-hmm. I think and it's crazy we're talking about contributions, but you can put so much money away. I think taking it out is the bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, you're in the same, you're, if you're working now and in which you have to work in order to contribute, right. Mm-hmm. You're in that bracket and you're not going to get out of it. Right. So right. when you start to withdraw money, and we talk about this all the time, is when your brackets change, your income comes down. Social Security might hit. If it's not on, you're using your investments, you're using your cash. That's where it can really be advantageous, because you were in a bigger bracket when you're contributing. Now you might be in a smaller bracket when you're taking money out. So think about that. If you're from the 12% bracket to the 22% bracket in the federal bracket, you're saving 10% on taxes. So Thinking about some of this stuff down the road is super important to plan. And that's what I do with every client when we sit down, is to understand how to really plan this and when to use it, why to use it, Now, when you go into more of a Roth IRA, right, you're going to have that tax-free. So you pay the taxes now, but you're able to really build that tax-free, that tax-free stream and growth down the road. Converting Roth is a big thing nowadays too, as well. But I think that a lot of the times when we discuss this with everybody and we try to see what people know, the less knowledge that you know about things, and I think that many people don't have the full knowledge about them, you know, whether I can contribute to a Roth and a traditional at the same time, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that that should be less about what you're worried about. Mm-hmm. I think what really you should be worried about is are you putting the most money away, and why it's important to put the most money away, and how much you should put away.
Right.
Whether it's a Roth or a traditional or a 401k or a 403b or an IRA, whatever retirement plan you have, right? Understand, is it going to be enough? And do I need to do something different now? Or what do I do when I want to retire? That's the biggest topic right there. So if you're out there listening, and mainly those people who are like, hey, I'm planning to retire the next 5-10 years. What the heck do I do? Right? How do I do it? Do I have enough money? Do I contribute enough? Do I need to contribute more? Do I need to play the catch-up game like we talked about earlier? What, David, what do I need? This is where all these questions come in, where I think sitting down, understanding a goal, and assessing that with every client and then the specifics is super, super important in any retirement plan. Because people can always say, oh, I've got everything planned out. I mean, sadly, no, you don't, right? It's a big problem right now. Over 11,000 people a day are turning 65 years old in the United States. The boomers, the biggest wealth generation in the country, are turning 65. They're becoming retirement age. Now it's the plan of using the assets and using them efficiently, where to put them at, you know, sometimes how to leave inheritance, how to leave legacy, how to best, you know, with long-term care comes up too, right? You don't want to spend down your assets with long-term care. All these things are a big problem that we as a company, and really myself as a financial planner, take this into consideration and create that full plan for you and take the confidence that you want in your retirement and give it to you. Because a lot of the times confusion and procrastination happens way more than anything else. Yeah. So that's why it's important to sit down with someone like myself and just kind of go over the numbers and make sure that the best plan is set for you. If you're set and you have that plan set and you come in and meet me, it's cost-free. You go back home. I mean, you know, but you know, I'll obviously everyone has some things that we need to work on and kind of get better in the financial field. So again, that number for anyone out there, any questions that you have, even if you want to call me and have a question, or you want to ask about something specific you want me to talk about next week, or maybe even, you know, the next show or a topic down the road that you're worried about, give us a call. Let us know what your questions are. We love calls from viewers. So give me a call at 850-565-1705. Again, that's 850-565-1705.
And to capitalize off that too, if you do have a question, you could visit retirementplanningpipeline.com, leave that question for us, and we will answer it right here on the show. A little segment we like to call listener questions. I know, very creative, but it's pretty simple, and we love, again, hearing from our listeners. So reach out to us, visit retirementplanningpipeline.com. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, we'll read them right here on the air and try to help everybody out. Also, too, again, that free no-obligation consultation right there for the taking, 850-565-1705. And again, visit retirementplanningpipeline.com for more information. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
Visit Retirement Planning Pipeline to schedule your free, no-obligation, complimentary consultation today. The Retirement Planning Pipeline will return in just a moment. Just a small town girl,
living in a lonely world. You check your account balance and realize you have no idea where your last paycheck actually went. Bills are piling up, that nagging anxiety kicks in, and you wonder, how did I even get here? If that hits too close to home, you're far from alone, and April just happens to be the one month of the year the entire country stops to do something about it. I'm Jim Tarabocchia for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife.
Financial literacy is so important because it's what you're going to base the rest of your life on, resource-wise.
John Ford of CNBC bringing up an obvious but important pointer about money and finances. April is National Financial Literacy Month. It started back in the early 2000s when Congress realized too many Americans were leaving school without the first clue about how to manage a paycheck, a credit card, or a financial future. Fast forward to 2026, and the problem hasn't gone away. In fact, nearly half of U.S. adults still give themselves a C- or worse on money knowledge. And as CNBC's Bertha Combs tells us, one of the best investments you can give yourself? Learning how to manage your money.
You know, we all work very hard for our money, and we should learn how to make our money work for us. And I think if you invest in knowing how to manage your money, that it will pay off as you get older. It'll pay off in your life.
It's about knowing enough to stop making the same expensive mistakes and finally starting to make decisions that move your financial life forward. So here are five quick financial wins you can achieve this month. Review one monthly bill and see if you can cut, renegotiate, or cancel it. Follow that with pulling up your free credit report and spot any surprises. Next, set one small savings goal. Even $20 a paycheck counts. Don't forget to learn just one new money concept, like how compound interest actually works for you instead of against you. And maybe the most powerful one, sit down with your partner and or your kids and have one honest conversation about money. No judgment, just a real talk. While Financial Literacy Month won't fix every financial bump in the road you may have, it can be the month you finally stop feeling helpless about money and start feeling in control. So pick one thing, do it this week, because the best time to get smarter with your money was 20 years ago. The second best time? Right now in April. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabokia.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes, here's your host, Jim Tarabokia.
This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Last week, we did part two of our five-part retirement plan readiness series. And if you missed it and want to catch up or even listen to previous episodes prior to that, go ahead and subscribe and listen to the program in podcast form, Apple, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform of your choosing. All right, stay with us because coming up, where to put your money for maximum contributions. But right now, it's time to unveil this week's financial wisdom quote of the week.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
And our financial wisdom quote of the week comes to us from American investor John W. Rogers. And John said, quote, financial literacy is just as important in life as the other basics. Fitting, it's again Financial Literacy Month here in the United States in April. Our thanks to John W. Rogers for providing us with this week's financial wisdom quote of the week. YouTube reminder, if you like the content we're providing, I hope you do, subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, and search Retirement Planning Pipeline for weekly video highlights and special content. All right, continuing on with the show, finding the money, practical ways to increase contributions without sacrificing your lifestyle. And this is, David, where people get stuck. They may say something like, I'd love to contribute more, but I don't have the cash, okay? So keeping in mind budget inefficiencies, redirecting raises and bonuses, and cutting low-value expenses, what are some realistic ways that people can free up some money?
And this is where it gets tricky, Jim, because to be very transparent for all the viewers out there, you should never cut a lifestyle. And I know a lot of financial advisors say, oh, save this, save that. Listen, you know, for just to talk about myself, I mean, my wife and I love the life that we live. And I'm sure that a lot of people out there that say that I wish to contribute more. Sometimes there's other expenses that mean a little bit more to them, right? I look at it more of a personal and holistic approach. And yes, finances are important. You need to be able to save and you need to be able to understand the financial literacy of it. But the same time of things, you know, spending time with the grandkids, spending time with the kids, right? Spending quality time, having a vacation. There are things that are more important to people that, you know, and I say this because being so young, my mother passing, you know, I know how it feels to lose someone at a younger age and they should have lost, you know, than they actually should have lost. And, you know, she didn't use her retirement, right? So at the same time, I try to look at it as a whole different way. I try to look at it as a, hey, look, You know, what's most important to you down the road? Now, putting money away for retirement, obviously there's 401k plans, there's money matching plans, but a lot of people out there want someone to tell them how to save. And I just, it's going to be different for every single person. I think discipline's the one word that comes in. And Jim, you and I talk about this even on a personal basis. Discipline has got to come in the lifestyle. It just has to. So when I'm talking about discipline, I'm talking about you go to the grocery store and you spend $300 when you could have spent $200, right? Or, you know, and that's a week. So $100 a week is $400 a month. That's $4,800 a year that you could be putting into your Roth IRA or traditional IRA.
So little things there, though, that add up. Little things like
shortening
your food list and gaining more savings.
And people don't understand it. And what's crazy about it is that's only one thing, Jim, and that's almost $5,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I go into a Walmart and I see a name brand that costs almost double of what that costs. So you go into one grocery store, right? There's one over here in Florida that pretty much everyone knows that it's very, very high valued and you pay a lot for what you get. Now, some of their meats might be better, right? But the idea is it a necessity? And you think, well, not really, no, right? Mm-hmm. Or I can get the same product for a third of the price. And it just doesn't make any sense. So when you think about it in the way that you're spending, and I always say this, expenses is if you still have expenses and your income drops, you know, it's your lifestyle is going to get worse. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's important to take care of, but what I also like to kind of really push towards any listeners or viewers is, you know, do what you need to do and do what you want to do, but just be smart, have a financial background of literacy, start thinking about is this the best financial way to do this? Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking everything. I'm saying if you go on Amazon and there's you're ordering something from a website, and I do this all the time. I'm going to go to Amazon and every other website first to see the same product, how much it cost. Mm-hmm. And everyone can always make an excuse. Oh, quality, just the quality that's better. That's bull crap. Okay. It's not a necessity, right? A lot of the things that I use to this day, I spent less money on or got deals on, right? And they're still the same as the other product that I would have gotten. So I think it's sometimes when people don't add up the little things, the small things, right? Or we're going to go, you know, to this coffee shop every single morning. And spend they're like $7 to $8 now. Shoot. So, you know, you do that 5 days a week. I mean, you got to think about that, Jim. That's with taxes, with tip, everything is probably like $50 a week, right?
Yeah.
That's $200. That's $2,400 a year. That's just coffee. So, these things out there, and if you're listening, they all add up, right? So, I just went over two things, just two in your life that everyone probably has, right? They could have saved literally $7,000 a year to put in your Roth IRA. That's not even talking about your TJ Maxx shops or your weekend expenditures on alcohol or your beers that you buy, right? If you buy one less beer a week, you don't even want me to go into that, right? So these things, and trust me, I deal with them every day too. It's why I talk about them. And people don't worry about the expenses. They think their income can stay the same. They might be able to spend a little bit more, but what happens is they start to toggle up. And I think that it's not the things that I want people to understand that it's important to do the things that you want to do. Going to see the grandkids, going to the beach, spending money on gas to go see someone you love, that all that stuff is important. And those are things that you shouldn't give up. That's quality of life. I'm talking about the things that you can literally get the same product or same output for the same input, for a different input, right? For a different cost. Those things I think people need to be worried about the most. And then also, obviously, you know, at the end, using them and what to use them on. And I talk to every client, but it's not about changing someone's spending habits. I'm not here to change. And everyone always says, well, you got to help me budget this and budget that. It's really easy. Just start thinking about what cost and how much money you're bringing in. It's a simple math equation, right? What my income is and what I spend. And if that and the expenses are never coming down, you're never going to create more wealth.
Because it's funny too. People, David, all the time talk about inflation, inflation, inflation. But what they don't talk about is their coffee order on a weekly basis, 5 days a week, to your point. Right.
And that's one small thing, Jim. Yeah. I come to the office and I make a free coffee for myself. Mm-hmm. Guess what? There's my $2,000 a year, right?
Right.
I drink two coffees a day, right? So this idea about certain things has to change, right? And I think that, you know, it's the little things. It's, you know, I listen to people all the time. They keep their house at like 68 or 72 or 74. I'm like, what are you doing, right? If it's cold outside, do not put your – no. I mean, come on. I understand that you – but that's just not – no. I mean – come on. I think people get away from the necessities and the wants nowadays. And it's funny, my grandfather talks about it all the time. One of the funny other day, he's like, he says the same story over and over again, because, you know, God love him, but he's right. Is that a necessity or is that a want?
Right.
Right. And people don't ask themselves that enough, but I don't want to talk about that too much because I want people to want to spend. And my whole motto, Jim, is for clients to get to retirement and spend as much as they can, and to maximize their income and to make sure that I am helping do that so that you can live that retirement that you want to live. And that plan is confident for yourself and you have the freedom to live the retirement that you want to live, right? And live it the way that you always dreamt of. So again, give me a call at 850-565-1705. Again, that's 850-565-1705. And guys, we can talk about anything. We can talk about your 401ks. We can talk about how to transition them. We can talk about how to transition them into income, how much income you should make. Do you have enough money in your nest egg? I mean, we can go, all the way in and any question that you have, right? It's just reaching out and getting those answers because 99% of the time, everyone needs a little help on the way. So again, just give that number a call. We can sit down and go over what you need help with or just, you know, ask the question. Don't be afraid to.
Well, also too, you know, let's not, I mentioned earlier there with inflation and buying what I like to call crap on their people's grocery store list, but let's not minimize what inflation really is. Again, inflation, it exists, and that's something that we can't overlook. But I do want to ask you, when you talk about wanting clients to spend in retirement, to enjoy their retirement, if I may, the go-go years, right?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about inflation and spending in retirement, spending that hard-earned money that you save for and you create that retirement plan for, how does lifestyle inflation hurt the retirement process just in general?
Well, I mean, lifestyle inflation hurts everything, Jim.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it's never going to go away like we talked about. But in some years, it's going to be higher than others. But I think that, I think everyone has to be aware that it's going to happen. And if you say that 60 grand a year is going to fit you now, I can almost promise you it won't fit you in 10 years. Okay.
Sure.
That's just plain obvious, right? If you compound the inflation and you compound what it is and what the expenses are, you're never going to have that much freedom and that much time to do what you want to do. And it's not going to be the same expenses. So mm-hmm. you have to look at that and you have to say, hey, you know, what do I need to do to understand this down the road? And that's not just, oh, well, I'll take money out when I want. Well, that's true. When the market's down that year, you're going to have an issue, right? So having a full socialized plan about maximizing your income first, more than what you need, because you can always reinvest it, right? I mean, you know, having more income is never a bad thing. I've never asked a client and said, hey, would you mind raising your income $20,000 or $30,000 a year? And them saying, no, I don't want that. Right.
Yeah.
That's just not how things work.
Yeah.
So no, but I mean, you know, that's the goal is to give you more than you want. And when I say that, I mean, I also love growing a client's portfolio, but maximizing your income is something that will keep you confident and keep your freedom high in retirement.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, professional guidance here is key. And please, again, reach out to us. If there's anything that we've shared on this week's show that makes sense to you and you can use some help, well, you know what? Grab that free no obligation retirement consultation right there for the taking. Don't hesitate to give us a call. We do this show to bring important information to people like you. And we love meeting our listeners. So visit retirementplanningpipeline.com or call 850-565-1705 for your personalized investment confidence checkup. Coming up next, final segment of the show, tax strategies and smart allocation of increased contributions. We'll break it down on the other side. Thanks for listening. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. We're back in a moment.
Planning for retirement doesn't have to be overwhelming. Get expert insights, tools, and personalized strategies to secure your future. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com today. Missed part of today's show? The Retirement Planning Pipeline is available wherever you get your podcasts and at retirementplanningpipeline.com.
Bob Dylan and Lay Lady Lay bringing us back inside the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Today's music. Today in 1969, Bob Dylan released his country-focused album, Nashville Skyline, featuring that song right there, Lay Lady Lay. You're listening to the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world financial strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. Jim Taraboka here alongside my friend, retirement planning specialist David Pipes. Thank you for making this show a part of your weekend on whichever platform of your choosing. All right, final segment, David, of today's show, where to put it, for maximum impact, tax strategies and smart allocation of increased contributions, talking here about traditional versus Roth IRA accounts. CNBC's Sharon Epperson explains Roth IRAs further.
A Roth IRA isn't only for retirement savings. It can be a great place to just stash cash, since you can withdraw your after-tax contributions at any time, any age. Once you hit 59 and a half and have funded the account for at least 5 years, you can withdraw earnings tax-free too, no penalty.
So, David, let's compare both traditional and Roth IRAs, and how should someone decide between tax-deferred and tax-free growth?
This is a good point, Jim, and I think it's really easy to understand which one's better. And I don't think it's a hard topic because it just depends on two things, where your income is now and where your income is going to be in your future, right? So if you've got a super high income bracket, okay, so let's just say you're in the 32% bracket, okay, and you know that your income's going to come down a good amount when you retire, right, because you're done working, that gives you more flexibility to be able to use the traditional IRA because you're going to be paying more taxes, right, on that when you're working than you will be when you're not working, right? So, and again, these are easy hints out there for all you listeners out there. I hope you're taking these and writing them down. Or even, you know, using your little phone to record them, because people don't tell you this often, but looking at it mathematically, it all makes sense. If, you know, if I could save 10 to 20% on taxes by taking it out later and using, right, we always like to use other people's money to make money. If I'm using the IRS's money to make money, you better bet that I'm okay with that. Okay. Especially if I'm using less taxes down the road.
Sure.
But if you're in that smaller income bracket, okay, and you're not hitting that top, let's say you're married and, you know, you're still paying the 12 to 22%. I think Roth IRA is of great, great impact. And I think why that is because not only does it grow tax-free, is also because you can utilize what you're doing with it and trading inside of it and being able to transition assets and do certain things in certain investment vehicles. And not pay the taxes until you withdraw the actual money. So, and this comes with traditional IRA too. You know, you can utilize that for traditional IRAs, but you still have to pay the taxes anyways. When you talk about a Roth IRA and you're earning tax-free growth on that, it's just totally different because if I can really, you know, you to, and this is where a financial advising point comes in. I love managing Roths. I love it. And for anybody out there, if you have a Roth IRA and you're contributing to it and you want, you know, you want to, you sit down with someone to see if they can make you some more growth and to manage it for you. That's one of my favorite parts. And I tell you why is because there's nothing better than growing someone tax-free money they want to use after 59 and a half. There's nothing better than that. I have a Roth IRA and I think that a lot of people should have a Roth IRA. Now it just depends, right, on where you're at in your life. If you're in a high income bracket, sadly, you can't contribute to a Roth IRA. So and there are backdoor Roth, which again, if anybody does have a big income, get around it to where you can still contribute to a Roth, but not directly through a Roth IRA, right? You can do a backdoor Roth, or you can do a Roth conversion. But no, I think that there's pluses and pros and cons of both sides, but it all depends on the client. And this is where things get tricky, is because everyone wants to say, well, I have some in a Roth and Roth's the best. Everyone thinks Roth's the best, which Roth tax-free growth is amazing. But what people don't think about is that if you're paying a 30% bracket on a Roth now and you're growing tax-free, but you could have been not paying taxes on it when you're 30% bracket and paying on it when you're in the 20% bracket, the Roth wasn't the option, right? Because you could take that same number and compound it, and then you can do the same thing with it in the same investment. Well, guess what? If your tax bracket's bigger, right, earlier, you're gonna want the traditional, because you can gain and maximize those earnings and then pay the tax on them later. So it just really depends on also the time length too, you know, and the numbers go a big way into that. But if you're teeter-tottering on what to invest in, or if you invested the right one, or investing, really the big one is converting. If you're even teeter-tottering on wanting to convert it to a Roth or maybe looking at it, please sit down with me. That's a big problem right now in the United States. A lot of people are doing them in the wrong tax brackets.
Right.
You need to understand how that actually affects you and what that does, and what's going to happen in 10 years. Is it even going to help you, right? In 10 years, if you can use that $300,000 and let's just say you paid, you know, $90,000 of taxes on it, that $90K could be used to invest in the next 10 years, then you could pay the smaller tax bracket on it. I did numbers over and over again, and either way, you know, it doesn't make sense on both sides. So you have to make sure that it's going to benefit you and not just listen to the Roth standard, right? Because Roth IRAs are great, but there's certain strategies and certain implications that Roth IRAs wouldn't be great for you, or a backdoor Roth or a Roth conversion wouldn't be good for you. So again, give me a call. That's one of the big topics right now, is Roth IRA conversions or backdoor Roths. See if it even fits your needs. See if it's even right for you, right? Do the numbers, do the math, make it simple for you. That number is 850-565-1705. Again, that guys, it's 850-565-1705.
Well, and David, too, when you talk about needs and things like that was going to be my next point. When talking about a contribution strategy, should that contribution strategy change as someone is getting closer and closer to retirement? And I mean, I would think it would have to almost change, right? Because again, your Roth IRA, being that you're a little bit younger, probably looks different than those who are in their 50s and 60s.
I don't think they change.
Okay. So the strategy doesn't change.
I don't think that your contribution strategy changes. Okay. No.
Why is that?
There's multiple different strategies. I think because you've got to understand that if you're trying to max, then it might change if your income changes. Let's say you got a big lump sum of you've increased your income down the road at a corporation. Your 401ks are going to change, right? There's a certain percentage that you put in there. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to traditional and Roth, I think that you should always put the most you can in them.
Okay.
And I don't think that should ever change. If you could max them out this year and you could have maxed them out 10 years ago, you should max them out both years. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that changes. I think that just the fact of catching up changes, right? But I don't think the strategy should be different when you're 30 than when you're 50. I think that the entire time that you're working, now your investment strategy, yes, obviously the things changed, you know, but also IRS laws, IRS rules and guidelines. I think that that's super important to understand. And that's what, you know, we have to keep up with. And some of it's not a good thing for clients, and some things is important to look at, because things change. Things aren't the same way it was back 30 years ago that they are now. So always be assessing, you know, have a financial advisor that really, really pushes towards understanding what's the now and not the back then. Don't just take it easy and understand, oh, well, everything's going to be fine. I've got $1 million and I'm just going to take money out. And I mean, that's the easy way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, hey, look, let me continue my compound growth on one side, have income on the other, be free, have my freedom in retirement, have my compound, have, you know, be able to be confident on both sides of things. No one wants to just give all their money to the IRS and the corporation. So having a legacy plan, right, having the grandkids and kids involved, it's just important that things are changing with this big wealth generation now, you know, and people always say, which I'm a big firm believer in using your retirement money. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use your retirement money, then do it efficiently. Make it so that you're maximizing your income. And if you don't need it, then reinvest it. I can't stand people say, well, I have enough to retire and I want to use all of it. Well, you're not using it, right? At least give yourself the chance to use it. Give yourself the income in a good, solid income plan, and then reinvest it if you don't need it, right? So both sides are good, Jim.
Okay. So when you're talking about contribution strategy, maybe you tinker it, but you're not necessarily making wholesale changes. Right.
Yeah. And I think that, first of all, contributions as far as the Roth side.
Right.
Like that. And that's just different. That's not more contributions. That's more towards what you have in a traditional and what you want to convert it to in the tax implications that that's going to have with you. Understanding that is one of the big problems right now in the United States. But I think that, you know, as far as how much you should invest, if you can, if you're able to, and the IRS guidelines let you, yeah. Always, you know, contribute what you can. And if you got enough in the bank, that's super important.
And we do want to remind everybody, here's the good news. We're not doing this or talking about this subject to scare people. We're doing this so that you can take control, because next week we're going to show you exactly how to start closing that gap. If you've been avoiding this step, this is your sign. Face the numbers, because clarity is where control begins. And again, we love hearing from our listeners. So if you have any questions, visit retirementplanningpipeline.com. Let's chat. Also give David a call, 850-565-1705. Or again, you can visit the website, retirementplanningpipeline.com. Dave, before we go, maximizing your retirement contributions. Let's put a bow on this show and kind of give out a theme. What do you think when maximizing your retirement contributions, what are some of the most important pointers for people to remember?
Number one is make sure that, you know, you're maximizing towards the right one for your needs. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is learn how income brackets affect your contributions. Learn how income brackets allow you to let's just say, contribute to the right ones or which ones you can't. And lastly, just learn what's going to happen down the road. Don't just put them in. They're IRA accounts for a reason, right? They are individual retirement accounts for a reason. They're not meant for legacy to give to your kids. They're meant for a retirement fund. They're meant for you to use in retirement. So keep that goal in mind to understand that. And they are, you know, they are for growth. They are for investing. They are to use down the road for when you retire.
All right. Well, if you missed any part of today's show, don't forget to subscribe to the program in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. Search Retirement Planning Pipeline on YouTube for clips and weekly special content as well. Next week, part four of our five-part series of catching up on your retirement plan, creating a budget, and cutting unnecessary expenses. Be sure to join us next week. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you then next weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future. Whether you're 5 to 10 years from retirement or just getting started, retirement planning specialist David Pipes has the strategies, tools, and experience to help you make the most of your nest egg. Take control of your financial future and get started today by visiting retirementplanningpipeline.com. And if you missed any part of today's show or want to catch up on past episodes, be sure to subscribe to the Retirement Planning Pipeline wherever you get your podcasts.
Not affiliated with the United States government, AmeriLife agents do not offer tax, legal, or investment advice. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. This information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of the respective owners. AmeriLife assumes no responsibility or liability for the content of this message. The information contained herein is provided on an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the results obtained from the use of this information. Charles David Pipes and Steven Zarek are individually licensed and appointed agents. Learn more at retirementplanningpipeline.com.
Well, the cost of living these days is high, as you probably know, just about every time you step into the aisle at the grocery store or pull up to a gas pump these days. But it's right now in the middle of America Saves Week. And so what we're going to talk about today is how in the world you can actually prioritize saving when things are so expensive out there. And joining me now to talk more about that is Shikha Narula, who is the head of Consumer Deposit Products, Transformation and Rewards at Bank of America. Shikha, thanks so much. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you again, Matt.
It really is a kind of a tough thing for a lot of folks, I think, to sort of wrap their head around these days. It's like, well, you know, everything's so expensive. I feel like as soon as the money comes in, it's got to go right back out the door. I know you all do, surveys and ask folks kind of how they're feeling, get the temperature of things as far as saving and spending go on a pretty regular basis here. What are the latest numbers show, first of all, about how people are feeling right now and kind of what they're prioritizing in their financial lives?
Yeah, so according to our Bank of America data, 52% of people are listing savings as their top priority. Yet, 72% expect inflation or the high cost of living will impact their financing. So as consumers, struggle with that, what I would say is automating your savings can help. There are tools that do the work for you, whether it's Bank of America's Keep the Change program that automatically rounds your recent debit purchases up to the nearest dollar and transfers the change from your checking to savings. I think that's a great way to automate your savings. I think the other thing you can do is set up recurring automatic transfers from your checking to your savings account so the money moves before you have a chance to spend it. So, there are ways consumers can help themselves by paying themselves first automatically.
Yeah, I love that. Automating things is so helpful. I know in my everyday life as well, just if I don't see it happen, I don't have to think about it happening. It just kind of happens in the background. It's so, so helpful. And, even if, people are struggling today to, just with the high cost of living and inflation and all of that, they may think that, well, if I prioritize saving, if I cut back on my spending, if I do all of these things, it means that I can't have any fun in life. I can't treat myself every once in a while. How can people sort of strike that balance?
Yeah, I think it's about cutting back, not completely cutting out. So nearly half of Americans say they tend to prioritize spending on day-to-day treats and experiences over saving for the future, according to our Bank of America data. So the desire for those small joys isn't going away, and that's okay. So instead of cutting them entirely, scale them back intentionally. Maybe opt for a lower cost version of something that you love, or maybe it's a latte out on Fridays instead of daily. The other thing I would say is define what brings you joy. So start by reviewing your past spending to identify your joy spending categories. It could be, maybe a specific hobby. It could be dinner with loved ones. And then use the 50-30-20 budgeting framework. So 50% of your after-tax income to cover your needs like rent. Put away 30% towards things that you want, including those joy spending categories, the dinner out with loved ones maybe, and then 20% needs to be directed towards spending. So as you're consciously directing that 30% towards things that bring you happiness, I think that will help balance things out with long-term savings goals.
Yeah, prioritizing there. When people are thinking about saving, maybe they're thinking about saving for, you know, a big purchase or a big event or something like that. Or maybe they're thinking about just building up an emergency fund over a period of time. But if they're saving for something big like that, maybe, you know, emergency fund, which I know that a lot of folks say about 6 months of expenses is what should go into an emergency fund. So that's a big goal to have, but also something like a maybe buying a home or saving up for a wedding or whatever. How can they break those things down into maybe smaller, more achievable steps so it doesn't seem so daunting?
Yeah, I think savings for those bigger moments or those bigger goals, it can feel a lot more manageable if you break it into smaller steps. So maybe split it. Maybe it's that down payment towards your home or that emergency fund. Maybe split it out in 5 or 6 chunks, and then set milestones for each of those chunks. And as you hit those milestones, make it a point to celebrate. So that's one way you can try and stay on track. Give yourself a deadline, set clear deadlines for both those milestones as well as the overall goals, and maybe try and link each of these goals to a dedicated savings account. So that way you're keeping money separate from your checking, and that removes this temptation of spending it. And, you know, hopefully then you start to see that progress that you're making towards each one of those smaller chunks, and then make small adjustments which can add up along the way. So free up the extra cash for your goals by taking a look at some of the smaller, easier to overlook expenses, like maybe you have subscriptions that you don't use anymore, or maybe you know, you're using rideshare for short distances. Maybe if you were to scale back on some of that, it can help you redirect maybe even a small, modest amount each month towards those larger goals and see yourself make progress.
Yeah, those little things definitely do add up over time. That is for sure. Well, just about time to wrap things up here, Shika, but anything else you wanted to add, maybe where folks can learn more or get more information about America Saves Week or some tips there where, you know, they can just learn more about what we've been talking about?
Absolutely. I think there's a number of digital tools that are out there. Bank of America customers can access Life Plan, which is a great way for them to, you know, look at the personalized financial goals and track progress. As part of America Saves Week, there's a lot of information that's out there. Consumers can go to americasavesweek.org and learn more about America Saves Week. Listeners can also visit bettermoneyhabits.com to get more financial guidance and savings advice that we discussed today. So those are some of the resources that I would point listeners to.
Very good. Shika Narula is the head of Consumer Deposit Products, Transformation and Rewards at Bank of America. Shika, thanks once again. Really do appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and AmeriLife are separate companies but are affiliated through common ownership. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV-2A Item 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Brookstone. Indexed or fixed annuities are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to caps, restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract.